And then just a few words about processions. This is from Father Goffin. What are processions? Processions are solemn religious assemblages of persons walking together. And as such, were instituted by the Catholic Church to encourage the piety of the faithful, partly in remembrance of graces received as well as in thanksgiving. Processions were approved by the fathers of the Church from the earliest ages. Those who devoutly take part in them reap wholesome fruits of Christian piety. And just like we said last week, if you pray the rosary by yourself, you get the merit of one rosary. If you pray with 100 people, then you get the merit of 100 rosaries. So just by doing this, you can, because you're praying with a lot of other people, then you get a lot more graces. Are processions something new? No. They were the custom in the very earliest centuries of the Church, as testified by the Acts of the Martyrs and the Fathers of the Church. They're also founded on sacred scripture. Thus, King David caused the Ark of the Covenant to be carried in solemn procession to Jerusalem, and Solomon, his son, had it carried in solemn procession into the new temple. What do they signify? Processions are a figure of our pilgrimage on earth. We're strangers and wanderers here below. Our journey takes us through this veil of tears to heaven. So the procession, therefore, returns into the church. It leads us over the thorny ways of life, so the procession, therefore, takes place in the open air. Processions are a powerful incentive to fervor in prayer for the faithful. For when large numbers praise God aloud or cry to Him for help and mercy, must not even the coldest hearts be roused to fervent devotion, since Christ has promised to be present where two or three are gathered in His name? And I remember years ago I lived much closer to the church, and then the neighbors would say, we really love those processions. I'm sorry, those parades. People are all dressed up and they're singing and they're saying prayers. I love those parades. And why are the banners and the cross carried in procession? The cross signifies that we're assembled as Catholics in the name of Jesus, in whose name we begin and end our prayers, and through whose merits we expect all things from God, our Heavenly Father. The banners indicate that we must walk in all innocence under the banner of Christ and fight unto death against sin, against the world and the devil, and be as ready as were the martyrs to give our life for the faith. And then what are the intentions? We can glorify God, thank Him for the graces He's given us, and then obtain corporal and spiritual needs. Amen, amen, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, He will give it to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, a mother was trying to impress upon her little child the fact that God would answer her prayers, and He always heard them. You may judge her astonishment sometime later when the child came to her and said, Mommy, remember telling me that God always hears our prayers and would answer them? Yes, dear. Well, I don't believe you. Why not, darling? Because the other night I said my prayers, please, God, make me a good girl. Well, He didn't do it. It's a fact that we need to pray, but it's also necessary that we do our part and put forth maximum effort. Prayer is asking for God's help. Cooperation means effort on our part. Prayer should be a pleasure and not a burden. If we remember that we're speaking to God directly, personally, and intimately, we will not hurriedly and mechanically recite our prayers through mere routine. Sufficient time for prayer must be scheduled in our busy lives. If we don't make daily prayer a priority, other things will occupy our time, especially our phone or something sinful. When a person honestly examines his day, he can usually find that he's wasted some of his valuable time. Virtuous persons make the most of their time. We're not losing time by devoting some of it to God. In reality, we're gaining time because He will make us a more productive worker, a better husband, wife, mother, father, student, friend, or single person. Almighty God always abundantly rewards those who put Him first. My dear and beloved in Christ, since we love God so much, we must set aside quality time for Him. Before beginning our prayers, we should find a quiet place with minimal distractions. We can easily place ourselves in God's presence. When we offer our prayers to God in union with Mary, she embellishes them and helps us to concentrate on what we're saying. If our mind strays, we should humble ourselves and calmly elevate our minds and heart again back to God. While St. Bernard was traveling, a peasant joined on the journey. Soon they conversed together on a religious topic. St. Bernard asked the peasant if he loved God. The peasant replied, "Father, I think I love God with my whole heart." "Do you often pray to Him with attention?" "Yes, Father, I have no distractions." St. Bernard then made a bargain, promising to give the peasant his horse if he could recite the Our Father without distraction. He agreed. As the peasant began his prayers, he was sure he would win the horse. He got scarcely halfway through when he asked the saint, "Will you give me the bridle too?" St. Bernard said, "Neither the one nor the other, because you were distracted." My dearly beloved in Christ, we should begin our day with the morning offering. As soon as we get up, to sit down or kneel down and tell God how much we love Him as we offer the first moments of our day. It proves that we're truly leading a God-centered life. And then it makes the ordinary and neutral actions of our day supernaturally meritorious. We can also renew our consecration to Our Lady by saying that prayer, "My Queen, My Mother," etc. And then with our morning prayers, we can have some time for mental prayer. Some people say, "Yeah, can I just talk to God?" Yeah, of course, you should talk to God in your own words. And then there's prayers of petition that we should say, and also make a resolution for the day. My predominant sin is this. The opposite virtue is this. My resolution for today is this. But if we say our morning prayers, we'll do much better throughout the day. And then throughout the day, live in the presence of God. We keep the spirit of prayer throughout the day, whether we're working, driving, waiting in line, recreating, in times of suffering and temptation, etc., that God is always with us. We can still make continual acts of love, like a mother caring for a sick child at home. She's not always thinking intently about that child, but it's in the back of her mind, and she's, as she goes about her work, she remembers her child. And then, of course, the Angelus or Regina Caeli, because it reminds us of the incarnation and the redemption. The Angelus began to be prayed in 1456. At that time, Belgrade was being attacked by the Turks, and it had been attacked for 4 months. And then the Sultan wasn't successful. So he said, "We're going to have 20 hours of a general assault." And it was savage fighting, and Christians, Catholics there were being defeated. But St. John Capistran, San Juan Capistrano, told the people to pray to God, and then he would help them. So they had a glorious victory. And then Pope Callistus III, when he heard of the story, ordained that in all the Catholic churches throughout the world, solemn thanksgiving should be made to God and the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this took, the battle took place, the victory, between 2 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So he said that they should recite the Angelus at that time. But then it was moved to noon, and of course, 6 p.m., 6 a.m. And of course, not only during the month of May, but every day to recite at least 5 decades of the Rosary, we mentally place ourselves at the scene of the mystery. So we're not just saying Our Fathers and Hail Marys, we're meditating upon the life of Christ and Our Lady. And since this is one of the most important actions of the day, pray it as well as you can. It's interesting because generally we're not as distracted while we say the Stations of the Cross. Most people are pretty well intent, and their minds are focused. But when you start the Rosary, then you think about my car needs an oil change, and what am I going to do when I'm done with the Rosary, and next week I have to do this. And so please just try to stay focused. But meditation books, pictures, etc., keep the mysteries new, fresh, and less tedious. And for those who have time then to pray 15 decades, they should. How many times have you heard people say, God never answers my prayers? Yet the contrary is true. God always answers our prayers, but the answer is not always the way we expect. Perhaps one of the best examples of this is found in the story told concerning Augustine and his mother, St. Monica. At one period of his life, Augustine was far from being a saint. In fact, he was leading a worldly and immoral life. And a consequence was breaking his mother's heart. Being a devout Catholic, she prayed daily for her son. One day, Augustine came to her with the news that he was going to Italy. At that time, Italy was not noted for sanctity. St. Monica thought, if ever my son goes to Italy, he's lost for good. And so she commenced to pray, Dear God, please don't let my son go to Italy. Apparently, God turned a deaf ear to her plea, and on the day Augustine left for Italy, Monica must have thought, this is the end. My son is lost for good. But when Augustine got to Italy, he met St. Ambrose, and through his meeting with him, he was converted and became a great saint. To all intents and purposes, God had refused St. Monica's prayer because he didn't keep Augustine out of Italy. St. Monica had asked for that directly, and God said no. Yet in reality, he had answered it. All St. Monica wanted was her son's conversion, and she thought Italy was the most unlikely place in the world where that would happen. But God knew differently. He knew perfectly well that Italy was the very place where his conversion would take place. There's another charming story as to prayers being heard. A poor little boy wanted an expensive electric train for Christmas. But his mother was a widow and had her work cut out to make both ends meet. Christmas is approaching, and each night his little fellow knelt to say his prayers. He concluded, Please, God, let me have an electric train for Christmas. Christmas Eve came, and the child prayed once again, Please, God, put an electric train in my stocking for Christmas. He tumbled into bed and was soon fast asleep. His mother then filled his stocking with the few cheap toys she had been able to afford. When Christmas morning came, the little chap looked at his stocking and then cheerfully munched on an apple and began to play on the floor with the toy gun and the wooden train that was in his stocking. At last, his mother, who had watched every move, said to him, Sonny, are you very disappointed that God didn't answer your prayers for an electric train? The boy looked up, replied very gravely, Oh, but he did answer my prayers. What do you mean, son? God answered your prayers. Well, said the youngster resignedly, God said no. The time may be delayed, the manner may be unexpected, but the answer is sure to come. Not one tear of sacred sorrow, not a breath of holy desire poured out to God will ever be lost. But in God's own time and way, He will give us mercy and shower His blessings on us for all those who pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.